How do you feel about the protesters that are out there right now that everybody says are disgracing the troops and, you know, not honoring their death by standing out on the corner calling for an end to the war? How do you feel about that?
I think that the protesters have their right to protest. I believe that the American soldiers have spilt enough blood for them to get out. They have their right to protest. And I believe that there is a way to honor the American soldier, but to disagree with the politics behind what the American soldier is doing. So I believe that the people can get out there and they can protest the politics behind what the troops are doing, but yet support the troops at the same time. There's a way and a method to do everything, and it's a matter of finding out that way to do it and to set about doing it.
Yeah, because I go to a lot of the protests, and more Iraqi vets are showing up, more and more former veterans, you know, they're veterans of Vietnam, and the family members, you know, and I have to say that some of these people have been out there from day one, and the whole message behind it, when, you know, you see all the different sides, but when you talk to everybody, it's stop the war, bring the troops home safe, and get them out of there, you know. And I've had quite a few people tell me if the war would have been justified, they wouldn't be standing out there on the corner protesting. And I watched Sean Hannity the other night just absolutely level Cindy Sheehan, and like, you're a traitor, we may as well just shoot you. But yet, you know, you see these military families out there, and those are the people who have families in Iraq, and they're standing there on the corner wanting to bring them home and getting called cowards and traitors and stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, Sean Hannity has his right. You know, there's a soldier, you know, many a soldier that has spilled his blood for Sean Hannity to open up his mouth and to say what, you know, what he feels like he needs to say. I know that, you know, when you stop and you take a look at the entire situation, you know, how much money and taxpayers' money are we spending by just having troops sitting over there doing nothing? You know, take a poll. You know, take a poll of the American soldiers, and if the news media would pick up and start listening to the actual American soldiers, the ones that are out here fighting it, not people like you who are interviewing, you know, you're interviewing us, but, you know, if the general news media would pick up and start actually listening to what the American soldier that's serving over there is saying, you know, the fact is that we're not doing anything, you know, we're doing meaningless jobs. You know, we're pretty much just sitting around on our butts doing nothing. You know, I don't see where that disgraces somebody else's name. You know, we're spending billions of dollars on a war, and we've got soldiers that are sitting around with absolutely no mention at all. You know, these people in the news media and in politics need to stop and listen to what the American soldiers got to say, because the American soldier is the one who's fighting the daggum war to begin with, or
right.
Fighting a war of stupidity and sitting on their butts doing nothing.
Yeah, and it's like the ultimate price being paid right now. You know, I said this to somebody the other day and got a lot of anger from him, but I said it's actually a meaningless death. It's just one more body bag, you know, and I think it's cost right about $500 million for every troop killed in Iraq.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, the amount of money that they've spent. And now let me ask you something. When you were over there, did you see a lot of contractor fraud and stuff like that?
We knew. I'm going to say yes, because we were offered, there was a bunch of us that was offered jobs paying $100,000 to $150,000 to come back over and drive civilian trucks again. I mean, there were several guys in our unit that was offered that very thing. And these guys, they're coming over. They're getting to go home every 4 months. You know, they're getting to do, you know, they're getting better services than we are. And, you know, they're driving these trucks up and down the road, but yet when an improvised explosive device goes off, they get to sit on the base and literally get to do nothing to collect their $100,000. And, you know, so when it comes down to taking money from the government, and here's another thing. thing is, you know, the taxpayers are the ones that are footing this bill. Mm-hmm. So we as taxpayers need to know what the heck our money is going towards. You know, here's another thing is, we're flying in hundreds, literally hundreds of Syrians to drive these trucks, these KBR trucks, up and down the roads when we got transportation specialists sitting over there, sitting on their butts, not doing anything. How can you justify paying them Syrians to come in and drive these trucks and then justify having American soldiers sitting over there doing absolutely nothing? How can you justify that? That in itself is dirty, and it's corrupt, and it's wrong.
Now, with doing the runs with KBR, do you think that was getting some of the soldiers killed that wouldn't have got killed otherwise?
I would say no. I would have to say no to that because of the type of mission that were being conducted. KBR wasn't really running that strong up until we had got up there, and I would say KBR wasn't really running that strong up until September, October vicinity. I would have to say no on that issue.
Okay, and one more thing I wanted to ask. When you got over there, how was your supply situation? Were you, in the beginning, able to get all the adequate supplies, like the food and the water and stuff like that, or did you have to go into the villages and buy stuff?
Oh, well, they had MREs water. We had bottled water. It was sometimes 120 degrees. You'd have to drink that water, find a way to cool it down. The initial supply as far as, you know, what we needed as soldiers to keep us going, clothing and things of that nature, National Guardsmen were told that they weren't in high priority when they were going over, so they only got issued two sets of uniforms, one set of boots. You know, so critical supplies such as clothing and whatnot, that wasn't very well planned for. This was a hurry up and let's go to war kind of thing in Iraq, and the logistics of it was not very well planned, period. The logistics were just not very well planned.
Yeah, you're saying something I've heard from quite a few soldiers. It just was not planned out, and even now there's just absolutely rotten planning going on. So you directly experienced the lack of planning, I take it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, from the time that we hit our mobilization station there in Fort Lee, Virginia, we were told, you know, hey, well, you're not top priority. We're going to get you two sets of uniforms. Well, listen to this. We had mechanics that were wearing out their uniforms because they were getting grease all over them. They didn't have the coveralls that they needed to get up underneath the these vehicles and do the work that we properly needed. I mean, we didn't have supplies to keep trucks, to keep trucks up and running. We were living on MREs for the longest time until they started getting DFAC facilities up and running. Well, then once they started getting the DFAC facilities up and running, then we had the Iraqis and whatnot that was coming in and working in the DFAC were trying to play with us. I mean, just, we had one situation alone. I think it was on Thanksgiving that there was over 2,000 soldiers that was dealing with food poisoning on our base. My company commander was one of them.
No, that was the day that Bush flew over with the fake turkey, correct?
I'm sorry?
That was on the day that Bush flew over and had the fake turkey in front of the troops, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so.
He didn't get food poisoning because he didn't eat the food, I think, from what they told him.
He was down in Biop. I mean, we were up on Anaconda, so he was getting top of the line food down on Biop, you know. He wasn't up on Anaconda where we were at.
No, I've basically covered everything that I can think of. I mean, this has been a good interview. I really appreciate this. Trying to think. I basically covered everything. I mean, if there's anything else you can think of, did I forget anything?
I think healthcare is another big issue that needed to be dealt with for the American soldier while they were over there. The health services was not a very good wound up being infected because she, they, one, didn't have morphine, and two, they didn't have antibiotics. You know, that was a very big issue. If you had something happen to you medically, you know, you were put on quarters or whatnot. That was basically it. You know, they needed the manpower over there, and they weren't going to let anybody go, regardless of how bad the situation goes. I mean, we had guys that were 50-something years old and had heart attacks and the whole nine yards, yet they weren't letting them go. They weren't even supposed to be there. You know, so this war, according to an E7 that was a historical E7 out of St. Louis, had stated to me one day, standing in the line for the PX on Anaconda, she said, this war is going to go down for the way it has treated the American soldier. This war is going to be noted for how it treated the American soldier. That's how this war is going to be remembered. Compared to any other war as before.
You know, and you've said this before, but I mean, you don't think the American soldier has been treated properly at all.
No. See, the chain of command is getting to do what they want to do. You know, and they're getting away with what they want to get away with. And, you know, that's just like, you know, this general I heard the other day said, you know, they got a plan for pulling out the American troops over this next little while, but they don't want to reveal what the plan is to remove the American troops out of there. Well, think of what it would do to the morale of the soldiers if they had an actual definite time and date of when they were going to start pulling out the American soldiers, who was going to be pulled out, who was going to be left behind, and what would it do to the families? I mean, it would do so much to the morale of the families, so much to the morale of the soldiers. If he was not playing these stupid little mind games, you know, and these psychological mind games saying, well, we're not going to reveal what this is or what that is. I understand there's a logistical security concern, but at the same time, you know, start telling the American people, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah, they had that debate in Congress the other night, and, you know, the Republicans forced a vote on it. But what I found ironic is on the Lou Dobbs show, he had a phone survey and an online survey, and out of, I think, 16,000 and some odd people, 87% said we need to withdraw within the next 6 months. Only 3% said stay the course, so.
Yeah, and that's not very, you know, out of how many, you know, over there, that's not a very big percentage of saying stay the course. I mean, it's, I don't think it shows a sign of weakness, you know, for us to say, hey, look, you know, we brought you this far, you guys can take it the rest of the way. I think it would show more guts and more integrity of a president who wants to get an all-time approval rating back up again to say, hey, look, you know, we're bringing home the American soldier, you know, who has done a fine job, who has done an outstanding job, has stayed the course, you know, has done what is supposed to have been done in the face of adversity. We're bringing you home. We're going to bring you home to a hero's homecoming and call it a day. I mean, his approval ratings will go through the roof. Get Osama bin Laden, his approval ratings will go through the roof. You know, if he would just be willing to come out and say that, hey, this is, you know, we came, we saw, we kicked butt, now let's take it home and prepare for another day, another way.
Right, and that was supposed to be the main goal, was to get in there, stabilize the country, and pull our troops out and leave 10,000 to do the oversight and everything else. And, you know, that's what I loved about watching the debate in the House, because they were reading some letters from the troops who had to redeploy again, and it was just, you know, it was just amazing to hear these even Republicans reading letters that said, I don't want to go back to Iraq, I don't want to do this, but then they turned around and voted for no withdrawal right now, no policy, no plan for it, and it just kind of shocked me that they would sit there all this time and say they knew the soldiers had come back home and been sent back, and they did not want to go, and then they only had 3 votes to have a withdrawal policy, so.
Well, you know, I look at it like this, is that if these congressmen and these senators really wanted to keep their jobs, I would think that, you know, when these soldiers start coming back home, I think that there probably is going to be a big, vast majority of them are going to start losing their jobs because they're playing politics with somebody else's lives. You know, so I really think that if I was a politician, if I was a congressman up there, shoot, I'd get up and go run for president if I had the opportunity, or a legislator, whatever the case might be, you know, because, you know, we need somebody that's going to listen to the veteran. You know, we're cutting the budget of the veterans. You know, we're cutting the budget so bad. You know, Bush says, oh, no, I'm not going to cut the budget. But then turns around and it starts cutting the budget all the way across. And, you know, we can't get proper health care. You know, they're shutting down, you know, health care facilities and things of this nature. So now we have soldiers that are coming home and aren't going to get the proper care that they need because the budget's being cut all the way across. Hospitals are closing. You know, things of this nature. We need somebody that's going to stand up in that pulpit and going to say exactly what they mean. It's going to fight for the American soldier. We have more American soldiers, more veterans in this country, that if we could get all of them back to stand up and to back one person for that, I would say that person would be able to hit or to run for president and win, because that person knows what the veteran's going to need. That person knows what's going to happen. So there's going to be a lot of people that we should be afraid of losing their job because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing for the American soldier.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I've said this before to you, I don't think that the American public is even aware of this on a large basis, that the soldiers are being neglected. I mean, even with the news stories, it's a two-minute clip and it's gone a week later and nobody has anything to say about it after that. So, you know, I think it's disgraceful.
Well, it's the impartiality thing. That, you know, it's, you know, here's the attitude that I have seen, you know, in my time as driving a truck over the road and the whole nine yards is, I see Americans, and I'm going to say just exactly how I feel it needs to be said, is I see nothing but a bunch of Americans that are a bunch of weak, spineless cowards, don't want to stand up for anything other than their wallet. They don't have any clue about standing up for themselves. They don't have any clue about anything else. They don't care about anybody else. You know, so they're walking around saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to stand up and go do anything. I think that I could just go vote and, you know, call it a day. Well, in the long term, they're sitting there screaming, oh, don't mess with my wallet. Don't mess with my wallet. So, you know, they're sitting there running their mouths, but they're not willing to put anything behind it. I see over 155,000 men and women who have not only opened up their mouth, over 155,000 men and women who have opened up their mouth, have signed on the dotted line, and regardless of their thoughts or feelings, are sitting on a wall tonight for you and me to have this discussion, to be able to lay down, turn our heads, and go to sleep in peace, and not have to worry about whether somebody's going to attack us or not. Those are the ones that have put their money where their mouth is. Those are the ones who aren't worried about their wallets right now. Those are the ones that are willing to take up the fight and to go do it. And right now, people such as myself, there was one individual that put it to me the right way. They said, you know what, I voted for my fellow brothers and sisters to go to war. It should be my responsibility as a citizen to help them brothers and sisters when they come back home to put their lives back together.
And, you know, that's the attitude that I try to, you know, I've been to the VA centers here, and I've seen the guys, and I tell everybody, you need to go for one day and spend 8 hours there on one of the wards, go back and forth and see these guys strapped to chairs, and, you know, we have a brain injury center right near us, and it's probably one of the most horrifying things I've seen in my life, and I've seen some bad stuff. I've done some journalism in foreign countries a few times, and this was just so terrible. These poor guys have nothing to do but be strapped to a chair all day and medicated, and there's no treatment for them. They just put them in the ward, and that's it. They're locked down, and they don't get out. Nobody sees these guys. You know, and I tell the people, you need to go, especially if you blindly wave the flag. I've seen this so many times. You know, they say, support the troops. Well, have you gone to the hospital yet? No, I don't need to do that. That's for somebody else to do. So, You know, yeah. I've been saying to everybody, go to the hospital one time, and you'll never be the same again. You'll never look at it again like that.
No, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, when I say, you know, that we're a bunch of weak, spineless cowards, you know, that's what it boiled down to. You know, we open up our mouths and say, let's send our men and women into battle, you know, and you know, the thing that kills me is that we've got, you know, like you said, support the troops. We've got all these nice little magnets and stickers on the back of our cars and this and that. You know, what does it mean to support our troops? What does it really mean to support our troops? Well, he might send a care package, or he might send a letter, or whatever else, but what about when they come back home? What about their families when they're gone? I mean, you know, I know I'm sitting here right now knowing that the temperature is fixing to get extremely cold, and I don't have any home heating fuel. And it's going to cost me over $400 just to fill my tank up. You know, how am I going to fill my tank up? And I can't get out and go back to work because of some of my injuries and the PTSD that I'm suffering for. You know, what about the soldiers that are coming home and you know, have a leg or two legs missing or an arm leg or an arm missing, you know, and, you know, they don't have any place to stay. They're paying for their own meals and they're doing this and they're doing that, you know. Wait a minute. Why aren't we supporting the troops again?
Yeah.
We should have, in every major city, we should have a building, you know, with people that are just, you know, can't stand it any longer and want to get down and help the wounded warriors, you know, those that have put their lives on hold for this country, you know. And it's not just the Iraqi soldiers, it's the Vietnam veterans. The Vietnam veterans didn't get what they should have received either. You know, we've got Korean vets, we have, you know, World War II vets that are still trying to get what they deserve to get. So we have a veteran problem as a country, you know, and that's what it boiled down to is, you know, all we're doing is another war with another bunch of individuals, another group of kids that are coming back home, and the rest of their lives are going to be messed up one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have people that are, you know, we got people that are running their mouths to support the troops, but they're not willing to put that money out of their pockets. You know, we're willing to feed third world countries, but then we're not willing to take care of our own people. That's what basically it boils down to. We're feeding third world countries, but we can't take care of our own veterans.
And it's costing us, you know, with what the other thing I saw the other day in Iraq, we are actually spending almost, I think it's half a billion, we're spending $2 billion every 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, and you think about that, in a month's time, they could fund the VA programs for 10 years. You know, in 2 months' time, we could wipe out all the homelessness in the country. You know, in a year's time, God forbid, we might stop everything in this country from going bad, but, you know, that money, that $200 and some billion, it's gone. It's never coming back. We're going to pay for the debt for the rest of our lives. And the guys that have been there, you know, this is what I worry about, the families. You know, guys come back home, I've run into homeless vets on the street. I work at a homeless outreach and do a lot of work, and I've probably seen 20 or 30 families of veterans that have either been on the street while their soldiers have been overseas, or when they came back, they had no job left. And, you know, I think it was 28 or 29,000 recorded veterans homeless now from Iraq and Afghanistan just in the last 4 years. And, you know, and I see Vietnam vets on a daily basis. I'd say probably 50% of the people I see homeless out here in my town are Vietnam vets. You know, well, I'm going to stop right here. I've taken up